Well, again, good evening, brothers. It's great to be together. And I want to thank Manny and Hudson and Evian and Phil for, you know, serving and helping us as we jump here into the Word. If you're visiting tonight, I want to thank you also for coming to our men's midweek service. You know, tonight is a continuation from a lesson that we had last week on God's mercy. And what was really great about that is we learned, if we define God's mercy, it's the compassion to offer relief. And it was different than God's grace. And if you were here on Sunday, Brother Garrison, I thought, did a marvelous, marvelous job teaching us about our worth and what it means to be in Christ. And I just thought, yeah, boy, if, you know, location, 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 if there's one place I want to be, is I want to be in Christ, I want to stay in Christ. But tonight, we're going to look at the scriptures and see what the Bible teaches us about God's forgiveness. You know, I remember, you know, actually when Hudson was singing that song, he talked about, there's a line, "Remember not the sins of my youth." You know, growing up, I was kind of a guilty soul kid. When I did something wrong, it was pretty obvious. You know, didn't take much to see that, you know, something was off with this kid, because you know, you just look guilty, you know, and you know, some kids are like that. And but I remember just, you know, hating that feeling of knowing that something was wrong inside. And so, you know, if I'd lied about something, or if I, you know, stole something or whatever, it just kind of showed on me. And the sad thing is, as you get older, you learn how to hide some of that stuff. And so I remember, you know, by the time that I got to college, you know, there was a lot of junk that was inside. There's a lot of lying and deceit and immorality and just a lot of selfish ambition. And, you know, growing up in a big, you know, athletic family, you know, it was all about earning respect. It was all about representing and showing kind of your worth, so to speak. And so, you know, look at what I did, look at what this happened, look at, you know, this achievement, that success. And, you know, it came down to performance. And, you know, Sari says to me all the time, "Yeah, well, you know, athletes are performers just like, you know, singers." And I'm like, "No, we're not." But the reality is, yeah, they're performers. And the problem with that is that, you know, as you get older, you know, things start to break down. And if it's all about your quote unquote last best thing, then boy, what happens when you can't do those things anymore? And so I remember really having a hard time understanding God's forgiveness, because there were things in my life that I would kind of habitually keep on doing. And so when I studied the Bible, it was like scales falling off my eyes, because I didn't understand what God had actually done in allowing me to have a relationship with God, with him. And so tonight, that's what we're going to talk about, because I believe there are men literally all over our metropolitan area who are guilty souls, who think they're so bad that what they've done, they can't repent, or they can't change, or God's not going to give them grace, or they can't break out of habits or patterns of thinking. And, you know, that's just not true. And so forgiveness is a powerful word that I believe many do not understand. You know, the Greek word translated for forgiveness in the NASB is aphesis. Here we go. A-P-H-E-S-I-S. And it's translated forgiveness 15 times, and once is translated release or free. Or another phrase is set free from oppression. And if you jot down these scriptures or take pictures, however you, whatever you like, Luke 4 verse 18, it reads this: He has sent me to proclaim or release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. And he's talking about Jesus here. You know, over here in Luke chapter 24, Luke 24, verse 47, 48. And he says, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness, there's that word again, aphesis, A-P-H-E-S-I-S, forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And see, Jesus went to the cross so that his present and future disciples could be freed from their sins. And you got to think about that. He did something that changed everything. And a short time later, the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up. He preaches that very message. It happens in Jerusalem as Jesus said it would. When the people understood, when the people heard the message, when they understood the significance of what had happened and realized the gravity of their sins, they asked the question, brothers, what shall we do? And you got to think about that, brothers. They got the message. They heard something that they connected their sin to the message of the cross. And that question arose in their hearts and minds. What shall we do? And then Peter tells them how they could be set free from their sins. And he says in verse 238, we all know this, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So you got to think about this. Now, if you turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. So if they repented and were baptized in the name of Jesus, whom they had crucified, they could be released from the obligation to pay for their sins. On that day, the people who heard that message, over 3,000 people responded and were baptized into Christ. And here's the thing. Ephesians 1 verse 7. Listen to what it says. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness, aphesis, of our transgressions, according to the riches of his grace, or, you know, the Greek word charis. So here's the connection. Here's the connection between grace and forgiveness. And here's the thing, brothers, forgiveness is possible because of one thing, because of the grace of our God. And see, because of his favor, because of his grace, God gives you and I the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins. You know, as I said before, growing up, I did not understand the message of the cross. It would make me feel sad when I would hear it at Easter or whatnot, but there was not an understanding that what I did actually affected this man. He had to die, and now God was going to do something unbelievable. And all of those sins and all of those lies and all of that immorality, impurity, all of that stuff was going to be wiped away from the past, the present, and the future. I don't know about you, but when I got it, something clicked inside of me. There was an understanding that, wow, God just did something unimaginable, Russ. And there was no longer this kind of jumping in and out of, you know, being right with God. There was an understanding that, wow, you have a reason to repent. You have a reason to turn the other way and not look at women lustfully. You have a reason to tell the truth and to not lie. You have a reason to do what's right. And it all goes back to God's unbelievable grace. And the fact that because of his grace, you and I can be forgiven. Now, as I was continuing to do this study, this word ephesis is translated as forgiveness, but it comes from aphema. This is another Greek word that's also translated forgive, or it means to send away, to leave alone. Now, if you turn your Bible over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, I think it's kind of cool because it's used in a way that in Matthew chapter 4, let's read it. It says, immediately they left Aphemi, their nets, and followed him. This word, they left, this Aphemi means they left it behind. They went on. Matthew chapter 8, verse 15. Here's another example where this word is used. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she got up and waited on him. See, Aphemi described what happens when you leave something where it is and then you move on. And so the disciples in Matthew chapter 4 left their nets and they followed Jesus. And Peter's situation with Peter's mother-in-law describes how there was a separation that when he touched her, the fever left her. And it was left behind. And she went on and she moved forward. Now, let's think about this in the context of the consequences of our sin. So leaving it behind, right? Matthew 6, verse 12. The Bible says, and forgive Aphemi us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. See, understanding this word afemi paints a good picture of what afemi means with regard to our sin. And this is what's so beautiful. You and I in Christ get to leave our sins behind. We get to leave them behind. And this is my first point. Leave your sins behind. We get to move forward. We get to live a new life for God without the burden of our sins being dragged around like a ball and chain. You know, this picture here, this dude is looking sad, man. And I would be too if I'm carrying around my ball and chain. And see, when we don't have a proper understanding of forgiveness, and it's based off of our last episode, it's based off of I blew it, so I must not have really repented. You know, I failed, or I've fallen into sin. So therefore, I must not be right with God. No. We get to leave our sins behind because of God's forgiveness. We get to move and go forward and live a new life without the burden of our sins being dragged around like this guy here in this picture. You know, Satan enjoys watching us live not understanding what God has done in our lives through Christ. And the more and more I think about it, the more I talk to people, especially people who were baptized, in some cases, not everybody, in kind of the 90s, it was a very much do mentality. And if I did, then I'm good. If I'm not, well, then I got problems. But being saved by grace and being forgiven by God, that's not something that's dependent on us. That's something that he does. And see, we must understand forgiveness and live the life God intends for us to live. Now, here's the other thing. If you're in sin, it's time to use a powerful tool that God created called confession. If you got something hidden, you got secrets nobody knows about, well, the way to deal with that is to be open, to confess. See, Satan can't accuse us if there's nothing to accuse us of. You know, that's why Jesus talks about coming into the light. You know, repenting, renouncing our sins. You know, and it's funny because sometimes we can fall into sin and think, you know what? I confessed it to God, so I'm good. So I don't need to confess to, you know, a brother or whomever. You know, the problem with that sometimes is you're not telling God anything that he doesn't know. It's more challenging when you may feel, let's say, jealous with somebody or envious and say, you know, bro, I'm struggling with envy here with you. And it's a lot more humbling to have to confess to a person and experience what all of that would feel like. But it's freeing at the same time that you're not carrying around junk, but that you're confessing to one another. Like James 5 says, confess to one another. There's something powerful. That's why sometimes when when we are open, we literally feel different, because there's a burden that's released that, again, God made us that way. And so it's important, brothers, that we aren't walking around like this guy, but that we're leaving our sins behind. We're learning and understanding what God does with our sins. Now, if you are not in Christ, hey, are you tired of carrying around the burdens of your sin? Because God didn't create you to live like that. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to allow Him to take care of that for you and learn how to leave your sins behind. I want to encourage you, sit down with someone, study the Bible, learn about God, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. See, this is how disciples and men of God should live. We are free. The power of sin has been broken. That's what Jesus did on that cross, so that we, not only are we leaving our sins behind, we understand what it means to be forgiven. And it helps us appreciate what Jesus did on that cross. And I'm telling you, man, we could line up and talk about the ways that God has changed our lives. You know, a lot of guys, they're powerless to their sin. They're powerless when it comes to the self-destructive habits. And you and I, we've experienced something unbelievable. We've experienced the blessing of forgiveness. But there's more. See, we not only get to leave our sins behind, we get to let others leave their sins behind, which is my second point. We get to let others leave their sins behind. A couple scriptures here. Luke 17, verse 3-5. He says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive. Ephemi. And if he sins against you, check it out, seven times a day, and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. And to that, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. You know, it may not be easy for us to let other people leave every one of their sins behind, especially people who may be repeat offenders. And it's tempting to dredge up someone's past offenses to prove a point about what they're doing at this current time. But see, the Bible teaches if someone sins and repents even seven times a day, God's expectation for us is to forgive them and let them leave all their sins behind. Now, another passage here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14-15. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Now, I think this is interesting because we got to remember who's writing this book. Matthew, who was a tax collector, is writing this book. And he's, you know, reminding us that if you refuse to let other people leave their sins behind, you will not be able to leave yours behind either. And see, Jesus is saying this, and Matthew, you got to think about it. He was a tax collector when Jesus called him to follow him. Jews hated tax collectors because they worked for the Romans and became rich by collecting extra money for themselves. And so Matthew wanted his fellow Jewish disciples to let him leave his past sins behind as well. But Jesus's words are so powerful. This is honestly scary. He says, if you don't forgive others from your heart, You have to pay back all that you owe to God. God, think about that. If you don't forgive others from your heart, you will have to pay back all that you owe God. And see, think about it. Sometimes we have a tendency to think about somebody else's debt is too big to forgive. And we minimize the size of our own debt to God. But in reality, our debt to God is so big that it's impossible to pay back. So remembering this can help us and just humble our hearts so that we're always willing to let others leave their sins behind. Luke chapter 23. Verse 34, listen to what Jesus says. And he says this from the cross. Jesus took forgiveness, brothers, to a whole new level. He forgave people who did not even understand what they had done. He says, Father, forgive them, Aphemi, for they do not know what they are doing. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. He's up on the cross. He's suffering. He's dying. And the disciples are there. And they hear Jesus say these words. And they start looking at Jesus. And then they're looking at the soldiers. And they're looking at the Jewish leaders that are there at the foot of the cross. And I just imagine the expression on their face that they just heard Jesus ask God to forgive those who were crucifying him. I mean, how do you do that? It's interesting because we read in Acts that Stephen, when he was being stoned, he prayed while being stoned, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Wow. But here's the thing, brothers, God expects us to be like Jesus and Stephen in our willingness to forgive. You know, the idea of letting other people leave their sins behind might seem more like a have to than a get to. But the fact that we can be free to let others leave their sins behind is one of the many great blessings we have in Christ. Getting to leave our sins behind is a blessing we can all rejoice in together. Brothers, there are so many men who are guilty souls because they have no relationship with God. They don't understand that it's not about performance. They don't understand that you can't be good enough. They don't understand God's forgiveness. See, I hope that tonight, that we can understand what God has done for us. And if we see that, we continue, like, again, I'll be honest. I used to sometimes miss quiet times. And so I miss a quiet time, and then the next day I'd have two quiet times. Cause see, I got to make up for what I missed because that's what you do. That mentality doesn't help a person understand that you can't earn this, Russ. You can't make up for mistakes that where you blew it. And I tell you, that went on for so long, and taking time to understand, wow, forgiveness, leaving the sin behind. See, we can show favor like God by canceling the debts that we think others owe us. And if we have God's heart, boy, will we help men in our sphere of influence in this part of the world understand the great and amazing God that we serve. What does it mean to be forgiven? We get to leave all our sins behind. You know, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalms 103, verse 12. And God will not hold a grudge for the price Jesus paid to make that possible. God said, I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. Hebrews 8:12. And finally, if someone sins against us, we are to graciously forgive them and be glad that they can leave their sins behind too. Guys, let's remember, forgiveness is that we get to leave sins behind. Not dwell on what happened last week or last year or when I was a young Christian. No, let's learn from our experiences, but let's not live in the past. Let's be those men who are filled with God's forgiveness. We understand his grace. We realize how merciful he's been to us. And more than anything, we understand that we have been forgiven. And so what we're going to do for the last 15 minutes here, what time is it? 8:15. Bobby's going to break us up into some discussion groups. And so we got some discussion questions on here. And so let's break up into these groups and let's just talk. And at the end, let's end with a time of prayer. And the challenge is this, brothers, go tell someone this week about God's forgiveness, how he's been to you or how he's forgiven you. Again, there's all kinds of ways we can get into these kind of conversations and help people even understand God's forgiveness that he wants to share with them. Amen.